Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. And listeners, I'm getting ready to introduce you to two folks with unusual jobs, but the chances are it's influenced the medical care you get. Professionally, they walk the line between being teachers and directors, as in theater directors, movie directors. But what I appreciate the most is that their work is focused on that term patient-centered, and you'll learn why in just a moment. Let me introduce you first to Steve Harris. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tricia. Thanks for having me on.
Steve's the director of the Standardized Patient Program. You're welcome. And Amber Hansel, who's the coordinator of the Standardized Patient Program. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning.
And Amber is also a former standardized patient herself. So, Steve, it begs the question, what's a standardized patient?
Good question. A standardized patient, most people know standardized patients from an episode of Seinfeld a number of years ago where Kramer was a standardized patient. He was a lousy standardized patient.
He
so
was.
Don't use that as your model.
Okay.
What standardized patients are is they're people who role play clinical situations with medical students and other people who are learning clinical skills.
They're learning clinical skills and they're learning communication skills, aren't they?
Absolutely. Clinical skills primarily include obviously taking a history and doing a physical exam, but also knowing how to talk to somebody and communicating well with them.
And you know, that's something I hear about all the time that patients are frustrated with is the communication skills of the doctors that they are meeting with. So I love the fact that you're addressing all of this. Who are these standardized patients? Amber, I mean, are they're actors?
Often actors, yes, and myself, being from an acting background, I was a drama student at Syracuse University when Steve came to the drama department to recruit actors. Actors love often being standardized patients because it's the ultimate improv. You really get to hone your acting skills because in a medical interview, you never know what the student or what the doctor is going to ask. And it gives you the chance to engage in that very realistic type of role play. And really for us, the gold standard is as realistic of a patient encounter as you can portray.
And this is actually, I mean, let's just even describe who standardized patients are, because I think it will give our listeners a sense. I mean, you've got people of all ages. Tell me, Steve.
Absolutely. We've had standardized, I've had standardized patients in their 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I've had standardized patients who were eight.
Eight.
So you can teach anybody to do this role play. And since doctors see patients of all different ages and genders and temperaments and everything else, we need people who can do all that whole range.
But how do you teach them what it is they need to know? I mean, I think you need to be, you're talking about, say, a specific diagnosis. You need that doctor to arrive at the right conclusion. So you must be teaching the standardized patient not just how to play the role, but also what those symptoms would be, where they hurt. Tell me, Amber, what is it you're teaching them?
We do give them a case scenario, which mm-hmm. gives some of the medical information that they would need to know. Not too much, because we don't want for them to be experts at what their diagnosis is.
Sure.
But also to teach them the history of what the medical student most likely will ask that's pertinent to the case that they're trying to portray. But of course, we can't script everything that
no.
a patient's going to need to tell to the student. So there is that certain amount of imagining what the character of this patient is and filling in the details for yourself. So there is some outside work you need to do to prepare for the character so that when the student asks you that off-the-wall question, you're able to answer in a very realistic way.
And you know, that also begs the question, because patients aren't just clinical beings. It's not that there's just something physically wrong with them. Often, if they have disturbing symptoms, for instance, they may be fearful, they may be frustrated, they might be difficult, they might be very passive. So what do you do in cases like that? Do you ask them to play those roles as well?
Absolutely. The standardized patient is not just a person who's reporting a set of symptoms. They are a person being a person, and they may have emotional concerns, they may have fears, they may have psychiatric issues, they may have depression, and we teach people to portray those kinds of things. We also often have people portray physical findings, so we can have people simulate having pain in a particular place or having a particular neurological finding that we want the student to test and find. And we want it to be absolutely realistic and look like the real thing.
So now you've prepared the standardized patient for the doctor to examine them and to talk to them and so forth. What exactly is the experience now from the medical student's point of view? What happens? They walk through the door and what?
The student almost always, in almost everything that we do, portrays themselves
okay.
in a role play. They are the medical student who's learning. They're working in a clinic today with an attending physician who's teaching them, and their job is to go in and see the patient first, do an appropriate history and physical exam with that patient, and then in the real world, what they would do is go talk to that attending physician who would help them learn from what they've done and learn how to take care of that patient. In our world, they don't really go talk to the attending, but we have them role play it as if that's exactly what's going
to
happen.
But there's even more to it, because you have a whole facility that is set up to address this with video cameras and so forth. Tell us a little about the facility.
Absolutely. For a little over a year now, we've been in the Clinical Skills Center, which is part of the Setner Building,
mm-hmm.
And we are a state-of-the-art Clinical Skills Center. As far as I know, we have more rooms than anybody else in the country.
Uh-huh,
we're kind of proud of that. but we have 22 exam rooms, so we can do fairly large projects,
mm-hmm.
Including videotape of everything that we do. We video everything and record it so that students can observe themselves later by watching a video.
So that's my real question, is what happens then? So now the student has worked with the patient who's been trained to prepare and be a real patient, but how is the student evaluated afterwards?
Student can be evaluated in a number of ways. In terms of skills, in terms of, you know, the grade part of it, the standardized patient is often trained to help evaluate them by filling out a checklist of things that we've taught the standardized patient
mm-hmm.
the student ought to do. We often have faculty involved who might be watching from another location,
uh-huh.
from a remote location, so they're not actually in the room with the patient and the student,
mm-hmm.
but watching on a monitor, filling out their own checklist of skills that the student ought to be doing. And then there's the great added benefit of allowing a student to actually watch themselves perform and evaluate themselves, which is not something we do very well in our educational system, I'm afraid, but something that is an incredibly valuable part of education.
It absolutely is. I think that's very powerful, because I think you can do an evaluation. You know, it's like we give a report card and a student says, oh my gosh, I only got a C, and takes it home to their parent, for instance. But, and not in this case, certainly, because they're medical students, but they can look at a grade, that's one thing. But if they actually have to watch themselves and evaluate themselves, what they've been doing, I have to think that's very powerful.
Absolutely. It's the best learning experience there is, as far as I can see.
Also, I think that one of the best things about what we do with our standardized patients is train our patients very extensively to provide feedback to the student, both written feedback, and sometimes we'll actually have the student go back into the room with the patient and receive direct oral feedback.
Really?
From the patient immediately afterwards, and that's a great learning opportunity for the student.
Which of us patients wouldn't love to be able to evaluate how our doctor had worked with us when the whole thing was over? You know, one of the big complaints I hear from patients is that they just feel as if their doctors are, they're in too much of a hurry. They don't tell me what I need to know. They don't manage my expectations. And then there's that classic study that was done that I read about in Jerome Groopman's book called How Doctors Think, that says that the average doctor visit is the doctor interrupts the patient within 18 seconds, which, you know, a classic, but hopefully you're teaching them not to do that.
We are, and I think it's important to note that, you know, a real patient certainly gives feedback sometimes to their doctor, but they give it in the heat of the moment, in an emotional situation. They're not feeling well, they're scared, they're whatever they may be. Our standardized patients, of course, are trained to give realistic, good feedback from the patient's perspective, but also from a much more objective point of view, in terms of they're not really feeling that emotion that a real patient might be feeling. So the feedback they give can often be much more effective, but still speaking for the patient.
Do all the medical students go through the standardized patient program?
Absolutely. Here at Upstate, we see every single student as they go through their 4 years at least several times each year.
Mm-hmm.
I think I figured it out. It's about 15 times that we see them in
wow.
the Clinical Skills Center for a student who's entering as a freshman this coming fall.
15 times before they finish their 4 years of medical
school. Before they finish their four medical.
And you have more than just medical students that go through your program, too.
Absolutely. We do quite a bit of work with several of the residencies here at Upstate. We work with the clinical pastoral education, working with chaplain interns.
Oh, excellent.
A very different way to deal with patients, mm-hmm. different set of skills in dealing with a patient. We do some work with Syracuse University's education program, doing some standardized parent conferences,
oh.
which I think is one of the more exciting things we're doing now.
That's great training. Very good.
Yeah.
How many standardized patients are there?
We have in our pool somewhere around 130, I think. One of the things about what we do, and when people ask me, do you need more standardized patients, the answer to that question is always yes.
You do.
Because I always need someone who can fill that wide range of ages and personalities and body types, and there's all kinds of different factors that we have to take into account. So I'm always interested in talking to new people who think they want to be a standardized patient.
Well, okay, we'll put that out for our listeners. You're looking for new standardized patients. What kinds of qualifications do they need to have? Amber, what do they need to know?
Well, I think that one of the most important things that a standardized patient needs to be able to do is to be able to realistically engage in that reality of being examined by a doctor.
Yeah, and they are being examined, aren't they?
Yes. For almost all of the cases, the student or learner will be examining you as you would be examined in your doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to have a certain amount of comfort with portraying a different character, mm-hmm. essentially, from who you are. So bringing your own hang-ups to the medical profession sometimes can hinder your excellent performance as a standardized patient.
So you have to be open-minded and you have to be willing to play a role and step outside maybe yourself for a little while to really help these medical students. But you're making a big difference for them, aren't you?
Definitely.
You have a contact phone number?
Yes, our program phone number is 315-464-2644.
Okay, and I'm going to repeat that, 464-2644. And your website?
upstate.edu/standardpatient.
Okay, and we will make sure that we have links to both your phone number and to your website on our HealthLink On Air website. Well, Steve Harris and Amber Hansel, Standardized Patient Program, fascinating conversation. Thanks so much for coming by this morning.
Thanks, Tricia.
Thank you
for having us.
And listeners, we do need to take a break, but please do stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.